The worldwide stock rally is fizzling.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis in for Bill Radke, who's back next week. Just a day after Europe announced a trillion-dollar package to rescue Greece and other indebted countries, investors aren't quite so bullish. Most foreign markets have been on the decline, and the euro is falling against the dollar. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with a global perspective. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
Why are people losing all this enthusiasm?
Because they rather went over the top yesterday. The rescue package clearly isn't a miracle cure. It doesn't alter the fundamental fact that some governments that use the euro, like Greece, have borrowed too much and can't pay it back. Steve Barrow is a currency strategist with Standard Bank. He says it may sound ludicrous describing a trillion-dollar rescue package as a Band-Aid, but that's what it is.
The package that we have papers over the cracks because it generates cheaper loans for various countries. But I think those cracks are still very much there, and those cracks will undermine the euro going forward.
Okay, Stephen, but $1 trillion is a big chunk of money. It should be buying something, right?
Yes, it buys time, a breathing space. It stops the Eurozone countries from defaulting in the short term if the money is forthcoming. And, you know, there is a niggling doubt about whether this whole rescue package will materialize in its entirety, whether countries like Germany, for example, will in the end be prepared to pony up the cash and foot the bill.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard joining us from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now in Europe. Stephen mentioned Germany. Well, the DAX is up 4.5% right now, but in Paris, shares are down 2%. The FTSE is off about 1.5%. Asian shares were down today as well. A nice ride, as you know, on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow added more than 400 points, 404 to be exact, the biggest one-day point gain in more than a year to close at 10,785. Congress begins hearings today on the huge Gulf of Mexico oil spill. A lot of blame being going around. In the meantime, BP once again will try to plug the biggest leak with a contraption called a top hat. In Riverside, California, some 50 miles east of L.A., is Mira Loma. The area has some of the worst air pollution in the nation. Freeways and railroads, a big part of that, and warehouses also playing a role, say researchers from the Sustainability Desk. Marketplace's Caitlin Carroll reports.
I'm standing in Mira Loma Village. It's a neighborhood of about 100 small stucco houses. A rail line runs down one side. Two major trucking routes, Highway 60 and Interstate 15, intersect on the other. Residents say living here isn't easy.
Hard to breathe sometimes, and I call it respiratory problems, you know.
We got headaches. Our nose would burn. We had soot all over our face, our body.
I'm out in the afternoon gardening. And I have to go in the house because I can smell those fumes. You can smell them now.
That's Charles Lanatua, Alexandra Jimenez, and Estella Portillo. This area used to be mostly farmland, but as Los Angeles expanded, companies built their distribution centers further east. Now sprawling warehouses cover Mira Loma. They serve companies like Walmart, Nestle, and Coca-Cola. More than 800 diesel trucks often pass through Mira Loma in an hour. Some drop off cargo from the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach. Others pick it up. Ed Aval teaches environmental health at the University of Southern California.
So increasingly, we're beginning to understand that, in a way, warehouses are like magnets for pollution.
Problem is, the county doesn't have money to move residents or to pay the truckers to retrofit their rigs. John Field works for the local county supervisor.
Obviously, from a land use planning standpoint, if we had it to do over again, Mira Loma Village would not be there. But that's the way it goes.
Penny Noonan heads the Center for Community Action and Environmental Justice. She says warehouses have cropped up here since the late 90s. Now the community wants to stop any new ones. Noonan encourages Mira Loma residents to speak up at county meetings. They're helping log pollution stats, too.
It's where the lessons are being learned, really the hard way, and it's where the crisis is.
Noonan is advising states with expanding distribution hubs like South Carolina, Kansas, and New Jersey to put some space between the people and the products. In Mira Loma, California, I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. And by Constant Contact, working to help small businesses understand what social media can do for them. Learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
What's expected to be the most expensive World Cup ever staged gets kicked off in South Africa a month from today. But soccer's governing body had to pitch in $100 million to keep preparations on track. For Marketplace, the BBC's Karen Allen reports from Johannesburg.
South Africa's built five new stadiums, a new airport, and brand new roads. But even a $6 billion budget wasn't enough to ensure the Soccer World Cup began on schedule. Several countries complained about the practice fields. Jerome Volker is the head of soccer's world governing body, known as FIFA.
Some teams were unhappy about the level of services.
Billions of dollars have also been spent on grassroots and social projects. Danny Jordan is the driving force behind this year's World Cup. He believes the infrastructure will leave a lasting legacy in South Africa.
And it's about creating jobs for people who live here so that they too have a chance of a better life.
The International Soccer Association won't have to go searching for the extra $100 million. The agency's already made $3 billion from the sale of World Cup TV broadcasts. In Johannesburg, I'm the BBC's Karen Allen for Marketplace.
And finally, in Australia, a member of parliament is trying to figure out why his mobile phone bill was so high. Taxpayers usually cover the charges, which politician Russell Wortley says typically runs about $180. But this past month, his 13-year-old son downloaded some quote-unquote free soccer games on the phone. It doesn't cost money to get the games, but it costs to play them. And the boy played and played and played to the tune of $9,000. Wortley says he's not going to pass the bill on to taxpayers. Instead, he'll make his son do some practice reps for all those games he's playing online. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.